Can't tell you how much just being here fills me. I shared with Steve as I came in this morning, what a sweet, sweet spirit is in this place. As we worship Him today, let's ask the Lord to fill us with the knowledge of His will through listening to His Word, shall we? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, today, we thank You that You have given us this moment to spend sitting at Your feet, listening to the Word of Jesus. Father, we acknowledge that without this infilling, our lives are empty. We don't have the strength that we need. We don't have the power that we need to overcome sin. And we are literally helpless without You. So, Lord, we welcome the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to dig around deep in every corner of our life, stir up things that haven't been stirred up for a long time. And Lord, challenge us to grow today. And Father, we don't hold anything back. When the Holy Spirit speaks with boldness into a dead area in our life, Lord, may we be in agreement that You can bring it back to life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing in our series today, Four Grown Men. If you haven't bought your book yet, Each One, Disciple One, there's going to be a calendar coming out in your bulletin pretty soon. We're going to really hit this pretty hard right after Easter, but the men are already getting into it, and Jeanette and I are going to be leading some prayer cells leading up to Easter, and we would like to invite you to those. You'll be getting a calendar pretty soon. StanToler.com is one source you can get them. Amazon is another. Nazarene Publishing House, NPH.com is another. And then, of course, our dear friends, the Good Book, Rob and Lynette Chamberlain, have been so gracious. The only problem with getting it from Rob and Lynette is they don't charge enough. So I appreciate you guys. I know you carry, last week I saw you carrying an armful of these, and I don't know who has them, but aren't they a blessing to have? And thank you so much. It's just, I brag on them all the time. And they say, you know, people say, oh yeah, the Good Book there. I say, yeah, they're members of our church. Yeah. Rob and Lynette. Yeah. Rod, it's good to see you, brother. You just fill my heart with life. So good to have you this morning. Glad you could be here. Continue in our series this morning, Four Grown Men. These guys had busy lives. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For instance, we know that, and we don't think about it, we don't talk about it a lot, but did you know that Simon, Peter, he was married, right? Because, you know, last week we talked about James and John, and Andrew and Simon were taken to they all went to Simon's mother-in-law's house, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever, and Jesus touched her hand, and she was raised up, and she began to cook him lunch. Now, I don't believe that Jesus raised her up to cook him lunch. However, I do believe that it was God's will that she be healed that day. Amen? We had a healing service out at Lost Lake this morning. Three surgeries happening this week out there. So be in prayer for some dear friends that are undergoing surgery this week. We anointed with oil. We believe in where it says in James, if anyone is in trouble, he should, praise the Lord. If anyone is sick, he should come and have the church elders anoint him with oil. And the person who is sick will be brought to be well. And we believe that we don't have the authority to prescribe what that looks like as far as the timing. And God's definition of well is always better than ours, amen? But we boldly walk to the throne of grace and pray the desires of our heart for healing. And then we leave it at His throne and His feet and say, Lord, may You bring about as Your Only you can, Dr. Jesus, our great physician, bring about the healing in each and every life. Each of the men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had personal responsibilities. They had daily necessities that they had to provide for. They had probably had families. They had commitments, which begs the question, how in the world do you live as a disciple, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and still get all this other stuff in? How do you do what God is asking you to do and do all the other things that you have on your plate? Doesn't life get just disorienting sometimes? Too crazy busy? And we begin to think about, Lord, you've asked me to, you know, to provide for my family, and you've asked me to spend time in your word. You've asked me to go to church, and I've got the job, and I've got the career, and I've got the family. And how do I get it all in, Lord? I believe that Jesus has an answer for us this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Today we're going to talk about the priority of prayer. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And I want to back up a little bit to verse 32 that precedes the section that we just read. And that is, Mark is helping us understand that Jesus' life is just packed with expectation. Can anybody relate to that? Just think for a minute about everybody that you perceive has an expectation on you. And everybody's blood pressure just went tick, 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 tick up a little bit. So Mark is helping us understand that Jesus' life is packed with expectation. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. And this is the same time frame, the same day and night, verse 35, then, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. So you have this Jesus staying up late and then getting up early while it was still dark. He got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place to pray. We know that that kind of schedule can be disorienting, can it? He wasn't sleeping in his own bed. Here the disciples and Jesus were guests of Peter's mother-in-law. I just have to imagine what that was like. Four disciples at that time. Whoever else were guests in her home, the homes couldn't have been very large. There had to be people sleeping on the floor, you know, in the living room, and people sleeping in the kitchen. And so we have this sense that things were not all completely orderly and everybody had their place. We know what that's like, don't we? When life gets messy, when things are out of place, when there's not room for every expectation in our life. It would stand to reason that it was Peter who headed up the search party that morning to find Jesus. I have to wonder if breakfast was ready and Peter's mother-in-law was like, I mean, we can't eat without Jesus, right? And plus, we need somebody to pray. So, Peter, go find Jesus. Oh, so he's running around and the disciples, you know, come with Peter to find Jesus and they can't find him. They finally found him. And what do they say? Oh, bless you, you're praying. Where you been? Everybody's looking for you. Doesn't that feel like what's going to happen if we take time to pray? Because the expectations don't let up, do they? And so sometimes, many times, oftentimes, we revert to fitting the expectation of others when what's most important is doing what we should be doing with God. And we fall into a reactive mode instead of being proactive in our prayer life. And we look for this elusive thing called, when I have time, I'll pray. It's kind of like, you know, if you wait to have children until you're ready, you'll never have kids. Everybody figured that Jesus would stay put until he was needed, but he didn't. He slipped off to a quiet, solitary place where he went to pray. Now, from this time on in Mark's gospel, he paints the picture of Jesus. The expectations on his life were very high. For instance, he'll end up teaching by the lake from a boat from the shore because the crowds were just pressing in on him too much. And after teaching, he'll cross the lake and fall asleep in the boat. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever looked at it from this particular angle before, but you remember when Jesus crossed the lake in that boat and the disciples were all, you know, they were all up and they were, and the storm came on and Jesus was asleep on a cushion down in the boat. And the disciples could not believe that he was sleeping during the storm. That's just an indication that Jesus was exhausted physically from all of the demands, from all of the expectations that he had on his life. He was so busy and so tired. Tired enough to sleep through the storm that would sink the boat that he is in. There's another snapshot in chapter 6, but first let me throw in Mark chapter 3, verse 20. It says, Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. That's busy. So busy that there was no time to even eat. And then he sends his disciples out two by two to preach, and they return from their mission trips. And we join Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. It says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Oh, and the blood pressure comes back down because what we have is Jesus saying, in the midst of your frantic activity, in the midst of all the expectations in your life, come with me by yourselves and get some rest for a while. Does that breathe life into your soul? Everybody take three deep breaths. My doctor would say this will bring the blood pressure down. So would my counselor. Come with me by yourselves. Come away and get some rest. Now they headed off in a boat and they got in the boat and the disciples had the expectation, finally we're going to get to pray. Finally we're going to get to spend some time with Jesus. But what they didn't know was, if you read on, while they were going across the water, across the lake, the people were running along the bank all around the lake, and they met them at the other side of the lake. So, here the disciples are like, oh, let's get some away time. Finally, we'll leave the crowd over there. And then they come up to shore, and there's like, there they are again. And then Jesus, boy, don't we know what that is? When we're ready to wind down for the night, and then one more call comes in. When we're ready to relax, but something happens that doesn't allow us to relax. And we have to deal with that in some manner, shape, or form. Let's look at how Jesus dealt with it. The disciples were probably getting like me and like saying, man, I never get to just relax. You know, that's not true. I do. I get to relax. But in my flesh, sometimes, you know, you get wound up and you think, this is the expectation. Yes. And then no, not going to happen. Jesus responds lovingly and he says, I'm not going to just let these people be here. They've come. They need to hear from me. And so he feeds them. He speaks to them. And I think about, where does that artesian well of living love come from? That gives us the capacity to love even when we are completely frayed and exhausted. Because you see, that artesian well of living love has to come from someplace other than ourselves. Because don't we get empty? We get so drained emotionally, we get drained physically, we get drained spiritually, there's just nothing left. But life keeps on coming at us. It's this artesian well of living love that I want to talk about briefly this morning, and that is, it doesn't come from going to another seminar. It doesn't come from going hunting or fishing, as good as those things are. The artesian well of living love comes from spending prayer time with God. It won't come from anywhere, any other source. You see, if we keep on pushing past, if we redline it, you know, you got the tachometer in your car and you push it past the red line, we're exceeding our manufacturer's operational capacity. I look at Steve because I know he works on cars, searching for a word there, and you gave it to me by osmosis. Exceeding the original manufacturer's operational parameters. And you know what happens when we do that. Jesus says, you either come apart with me or the stress of life is going to pull you apart. So we have a choice to continue to live a life according to the expectations of others, which is real. We don't disregard those expectations. They're there for a reason. They help us grow. We can find great benefit in being accountable to each other. No man can live by himself. But at the same time, there's a higher call than being at the beckon and call of everything that would require your attention. It would be like walking into a store and buying everything because every sign says, this is the deal of a lifetime. We don't do that, do we? We have to make choices in regards to how we're going to spend our money and how we're going to spend our time. Just as a personal budget is a theological document, we can look at our checkbook and recognize what it is that it's valuable to us, what it is that we prioritize in our life. So is our personal journal, our calendar. Every minute is an entry into what is valuable to us. And God calls us to come and meet with Him. Mark 6:46, after leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. This time, instead of getting up early, He's staying up late to pray. I want us to take those glimpses of the life of Jesus and just for a couple minutes this morning, talk about how we can fit it in. Prayer. I think it starts with an honest look at how we spend our time. Jesus was always aware of time. He said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And while he didn't probably have a Timex on his, unless you believe in time travel and all that crazy stuff on the internet, he didn't have a Timex. But he knew the time of God. Amen. He knew the will of God, the plan of the Father. And he said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He knew his time was short, that he only had so much, that there was essential work that had to get done before his time was ended here on the earth. Time is such a precious commodity. Anyone who knows me knows that it's really, really hard for me to be late to anything. And I was late a couple times this week. And when I'm late and Jeanette's with me, she knows that my blood pressure is going up, and she just puts her hand on my arm as if to say, I know this is really hard, but you can do this. And she helps me. Time is so precious. As we were planting Living Well, we had a notebook compiled by Renee Drazda. Any of you remember her? She compiled a notebook of every document that we had ever written for the first 2 years and the planting of Living Well. It was because we wanted to be accountable to those who had invested dollars and time as short-term missionaries. It's because time is important, and we only have so much time to live here on the earth. We all have it. Unlike money, time is something all of us have. We have the same amount. If Jesus was as busy as he was and yet took time to pray, you can too. And Pastor John, you can too. We spend it. We talk about buying time, spending time. You see, we have choices to make with our time. I went to see Dr. Iyer this week. Maybe you know Dr. Iyer. He's about this big around. And whenever my dad and Ma go to see him, they take him a pie because he looks so hungry. Last time it was a pecan pie. The time before it was a raisin cream pie. And anyway, Dr. Iyer, he climbs mountains and he, you know, runs on his treadmill for an hour at a time. And you know, and I'm sitting there and he says, and he grabs my arm and he, you know, he's a heart doctor, and he puts his fingers on my pulse and he looks into my eyes. And he's like, do you exercise? And I'm like, no. And he's like, yes. He knew I was going to give him an excuse. So I said, it's, you know, I'm a bike rider. It's cold outside. And you know, in the spring, yes, he says. And I said, you know, it's just been such a busy year. And he says, yes. And so I blamed it on Jeanette. I said, I've been so busy building your office for the last 6 months. And then he didn't. He said, you need to exercise. You see, we all have tough choices to make in regards to our lives. If I were to ask for a show of hands this morning about why some of you don't spend as much time in prayer as you should, how many of us would say it's because we're so busy? Jesus spent his life prioritizing prayer. Martin Luther is credited with once saying, in fact, I have so much to do today that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours of it in prayer. You see, everything in life is really a matter of perspective. But so much of life we spend looking at through our eyes instead of through Jesus' eyes. And I don't know about you, but when I look at it through my eyes, I see how incapable I am at doing life. And how big the insurmountable problems are, and how dark the valleys are, and how high the mountains are. But when I look, I take time in prayer, and I look at it through God's eyes, all of a sudden, I realize I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me. It's when I spend time prioritizing prayer, I'm spending time with God. It's like plugging into the power source. When I'm empty, when I'm lonely, when I'm defeated, depressed, or anxious, and I continue to look at life through my perspective, it's going to get dauntingly overwhelming. But when I spend time in prayer and ask God to help me see things as He sees them, God says, I got this. Come with me and rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My yoke is light. The husband and the wife sat down to compose a budget, and the husband said, let's start with the basic necessities, food, clothing, and shelter. Honey, you can have your choice of any two. Life is hard. Hard decisions to make. Years ago, David McKenna invited Billy Graham to be the commencement speaker at Seattle Pacific University. David explained that commencement is a grand occasion, a celebration held at the exquisite Seattle Opera Hall with a capacity crowd. And pulling out all the stops, David glamorized the invitation for Dr. Graham, and Dr. Graham listened patiently, mused for a moment, and then answered, David, I am flattered by your invitation, but I must say no. You see, God has called me to take the gospel to people who have never heard the gospel before. And as much as I would like to say yes, and as honored as I am to say yes to your invitation, I have to say no. Because if I say yes to your invitation, it means I'm saying no to taking the gospel to people who haven't heard it yet. And I thought, Lord, that's Jesus' perspective right there. That's a great perspective for a new church starting out, and it's a great perspective for an established church. That, Lord, may everything we do and everything we're about be about the mission of Jesus Christ. You see, when they went to get Jesus and everybody was waiting and everybody had expectations and everybody had an agenda and everybody thought this is what it would look like and should look like, and Jesus was praying, you know what He said? And they said, Jesus, everybody's looking for You. Now, snap to it. Get to these expectations. You know what Jesus did? He said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Let's go to the other towns that haven't heard the good news yet. And that's what our church should be doing. It's not about us anymore. If you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not about us. We really don't have... We just can't make it about us. It's about the people who haven't heard the good news, and we have to rise and go and meet with them. Sometimes we claim ownership of our time. I'll never forget my first pastor. I was in Roseville, and my friend Dean Arneson was pastoring in Roseville, or Ellisville. Ellisville is a town about this big. I'm not kidding. It's on the Spoon River. A neat little community, but 100 people is really, literally all that was in Ellisville. Do you remember Dean? No? He and his wife, Margaret, real heroes of ours. They pastored Ellisville Church of the Nazarene. Didn't even have indoor bathrooms. Dean was a prolific caller. He would go out and meet with people in the community that didn't know Jesus. And he went to this one man's door. The, the guy knew who he was and said, "Pastor, I don't want you to spend your time, I don't want you to spend your money, and I don't want you to spend your gas coming to see me because I'm not coming to church." And Dean said, whatever, first name, last name, "It's not my time, it's not my money, it's not my gas, it's all God's." Everything that we have is God's, including our time. And Jesus says, "Come with me by yourselves for a little while and rest." Hey, if Jesus is inviting us, who are we to say no? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray, Luke 5:16. Doing what Jesus did requires that we accept our position as stewards. I can remember times, going to buy lunch for, several people at the office or whatever, and I had several lunch orders and took all their money, and then when you get back, you're like, "I owe you $5.32 and I owe you $6.42, and it those details just drive me bananas. But we know what that's like. We don't want to short anybody a penny. Let's not short Jesus any minutes. Amen? Come with me and get away by yourselves for a while. Come away from the demands of life. Come away from all the expectations that you perceive people are putting on you. Let me refill you from the reservoir of living love." Amen. Psalm 31:15 says, "My times are in your hands." One day the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" Let's turn to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. As we conclude this morning, I'd like to ask Robin, Lynette, and Steve to come on up. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say," and would you join with me in unison, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Let's pray. Lord, not only give us the words, which are authored by you as well, but Lord, give us the heart. Give us the heart to pray. Give us the time to pray. Give us the heart that makes time to pray. Lord, break the hold of selfishness that we perceive that we have claim on our time. Father, may we give it to you. May even now you begin to fill our hearts and minds with ideas about where and when to spend quality time, getting up early or staying up late or in the middle of the day, making sure that it is you filling the reservoir of our life with your love. Forgive us for the times that we've reacted to the expectations of others in haste, and we've lashed out because we've been aggravated and frustrated, and we have a short fuse. Father, instead, fill us with your love from the deep reservoir of living love. comes from you. And Lord, send us from here this morning with the perspective of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Help us get up in the morning and be ready to go to those who haven't yet heard the gospel. Help us, Lord, be disciples and disciple others. Thank you, Father. Lead us now, we pray, in living this out in practical ways. We love you in Jesus' name.
You said, asking you will. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. God bless you guys. Hope you have a great week. You are dismissed.